Father, I want to thank you for this moment. And you know it has to be abbreviated, and I know you can do it without losing the thrust. So use me now and make it plain in short order, Lord. And thank you. You can do miracles, because we ask in Jesus' name. Amen. All right, you know I've been doing a series called Are You Building Your Ark? That question was based on the fact that it dawned on me when Noah built the ark, folks, there was no other way of salvation. There was none. I call it the ark of safety. It was the only way to salvation. So are you building your ark? And as I thought about this, I realized there's four areas. If you're building your ark, and you should be, there's four areas. Number one, the spiritual foundation of your ark. Secondly, the physical body of your ark. And we discovered there's two sections to that. Where's the location, the presence of your ark? And what is the practice of your ark, the physical part? Number three was the mental state. That's what I'm covering today. And the fourth and last one next week will be the social practice of your ark. Now, the spiritual foundation of your ark, we discovered you must have a personal, intimate, daily relationship with Jesus, not just that He died, but that He died for you, for me, okay? That's the spiritual foundation of your ark. The physical body of your ark, looking at the presence, the location. Where is your location? And we looked at Lot, how he moved his tent towards Sodom, even though Abraham told him not to. And you remember, bottom line, Lot lost everything. And here was a quote that we quoted from Patriarchs and Prophets. There was a coming out, a decided separation from the wicked, an escape for life. So it was in the day of Noah, so with Lot, so with the disciples prior to the destruction of Jerusalem, and so will it be in the last days. Again, the voice of God is heard in the message of warning, bidding His people separate themselves from the prevailing iniquity. And then we looked at the second part of the physical body and the practice of the physical body. We looked at the story about John the Baptist and his preaching. And here's what we discovered. The world is given to self-indulgence. Error and fable abound. Satan's snares are destroying souls. Let me see if that turns white. No. Souls are Satan's snares for destroying souls are multiplied. All who would perfect holiness in the fear of God and learn the lessons of temperance and self-control. I don't think that's coming out right. I did not put that in black. That's supposed to be in white. Oh, there. Okay. Duh. All right, take a look. All who would perfect holiness in fear of God must learn the lessons of temperance and self-control. The appetites and the passions must be held in subjection to the higher powers of the what? The mind. For this reason, temperance finds its place in the work of preparation for Christ's second coming. So not only where is your ark located, your body, but also what is the practice of your body? And now today we're briefly going to look at the mental state of your ark. Now I want you to know two crucial things were missing from the ark. Now look at these two pictures, and I'm going to move rapidly, but I think I'll still get the point over. What two crucial things, when you compare it with a sea-going vessel, and I could have put all kinds of pictures, huge, small, in between, that's a sea-going vessel. How does that differ in two crucial ways from the ark. Well, I'll tell you. Number one, the ark had no wheelhouse. Did you get that? And number two, the ark had no rudder. Noah was not in control of the ark. God was in control of the ark. In that time of crisis, when the whole world was being wiped clean and only those on the ark were being saved, they had no control over the ark. And the question is, why? And the answer is, the ark was under complete control of God. So we must be under the complete control of God through our minds. I invite you to take your Bibles, if you would, and turn with me to Leviticus 23. Take a look at Leviticus 23, and I'm almost done. So don't panic. I know the kids are hungry. Oh, this is skip lunch and pray Sabbath. So no one's allowed to be hungry. Okay, look what it says here in Leviticus 23. And we'll see what this has to do with the mental state of your ark, if you're building an ark in these last days. And we're going to look at verse 26. Here we go. And the Lord spoke to Moses, saying, also on the 10th day of the 7th month, shall be a day of atonement. It shall be a holy convocation for you, and you shall afflict your soul and offer an offering made by fire to the Lord. And you shall do no work on that same day, for it is the day of atonement, to make atonement for you before the Lord your God. For any person who is not afflicted in soul on the same day shall be cut off from the people. And any person who does any work on the same day, that person will be destroyed from his people. You shall do no manner of work. It shall be a statute forever throughout your generations in all your dwelling. It shall be to you a Sabbath of solemn rest, and you shall afflict your souls on the 9th day of the month at evening. From evening, you shall celebrate your Sabbath. Now, this is the 6th in 7 feasts that God instituted for Israel. And the Day of Atonement was totally different from all the other feasts. If you read about all the other feasts, the Passover, Unleavened, Feast of Weeks, Trumpets, so forth and so on, the Feast of Tabernacles, all revolved around feasting. Good, huh? Adventists like food. You want to get more people here in the Adventist church? Have food. Okay? But this wasn't a day of food. No. In fact, did you miss the fact that it says afflict your soul three times in those, what, 6-7 verses? Afflict your soul, verse 27, 29, 30, 32. And so let's look. What does afflict your soul mean? Affliction means fasting, praying, and humbling yourself. If we were to look at Isaiah 58, 5, it says exactly that. And on the Day of Atonement, the Israelites were to surround the sanctuary. This is the best picture that I could find to illustrate this for all of you, but it's not the best picture because this is just a typical day by the fact the curtains are open, the priests are all in. On the Day of Atonement, no one was in the sanctuary proper except for the high priest. And all of them were on their knees surrounding the sanctuary. And they started a fast the night before when the sun set. And that fast continued as the high priest went into the sanctuary to eliminate their sins so he could come out and set the people free. By the way, this is the beauty of the Seventh-day Adventist Church. We understand the sanctuary and the implications from earth it has to heaven. And so on this day, it wasn't a day of feasting, folks. It was a day of fasting. It was a day of praying. And it was a day when you had to humble yourself. Did you see what it said in verse 27? If you didn't, you'd be cut off from the rest of the people. Other places in the Old Testament, cut off means if you're building your ark, what is the mental state of your ark? For I want you to notice that on the Day of Atonement, it was a day in which they humbled themselves and fasted and prayed. Here's the famous painting by Jacob Kramer, a Ukraine-born painter who painted the Day of Atonement picture. That's what it's named. Look at it closely. That's what was depicted in the Day of Atonement. No joy, no celebration. Very humble, very quiet. And then I want you to see, what does this have to do with what in the world we're talking about building your ark? Those that overcome the world, the flesh, and the devil will be the favored ones who shall receive the seal of the living God. Only those who, in their attitude before God, are fulfilling the position of those who are repenting and confessing their sins in what? The antitypical Day of Atonement will be recognized and marked as worthy of God's protection. Do you know what that means? Folks, that means in 1844, when Jesus shifted His ministry in the holy place to the most holy place, in the heavenly sanctuary, we begin the Day of Atonement, so to speak, until the second coming of Jesus Christ. And what are you supposed to do during the Day of Atonement time? Afflicting your souls, fasting, praying, and humbling yourself. How are we doing? You know, Robert got himself in a situation. No, he didn't get himself in the situation. The Lord put him in that situation. He started coming to the prayer time. And he just testified to you without me telling him what it's done for him. We have these prayer times and very few of you come. And some reason you don't understand, this is the antitypical Day of Atonement. See, back in the Old Testament, it happened one 24-hour period. But we've been in the antitypical Day of Atonement since 1844. That's why we have a health message. When it says they fasted back then, they didn't eat any food. Today, how do you apply that? When this has been years now, the antitypical Day of Atonement, it means that you eat healthfully. Vegetarianism is what is being purported by science, medical science, science itself, and our church has supported that for years. And what are we doing? Are you building an ark? For in the antitypical Day of Atonement, you should be fasting. When John the Baptist, who was a type of us, preached that Jesus is coming soon, and we are now preaching Jesus coming soon, he dressed, ate, and acted like someone who was in the presence of God. The antitypical Day of Atonement. I know this is tough, folks. I know. If you think I enjoy this, you're wrong. If you think I've got it nailed in my behavior in my life, you're also wrong. But I know what the Bible says. I know what the Spirit of Prophecy says. And we are playing around when we shouldn't be. The names of those who are steadfastly looking and waiting and watching for the appearing of their Savior will be numbered with those who are sealed. And I got news for you. I haven't been a Seventh-day Adventist for all these years, so that just before Jesus comes, I miss the boat. I want to step up to the plate and do better than I'm doing. It is time for us to be humbling ourselves, to be praying, to be fasting. And we can, and when we as a church family offer these opportunities, pick and choose, but come. Participate. Today's going to be skip lunch and pray Sabbath. Imagine, we're going to force ourselves to skip a meal. For what purpose? To win merit with God? No. To humble ourselves before our God and show that we mean business. And you know, He said, if my people who are called by my name would humble themselves and seek my face and pray, then I will heal their lands. And what are we doing? What are we doing? No, I don't want anybody to stay here today for skip lunch and pray Sabbath because you feel guilty. Unless God gave you that guilt. But I want to tell you something. I want to do better. And as a pastor, I have to be here. And some of you should be in my position. Because then you'd have to be here too. And you'd see what God's going to do. Just like Robert. He would never have imposed upon us in his life till that situation occurred. He said, will you pray for me? And look what God did. I better move. I told you I was almost done. So check this out. Number one, Jesus said this in Matthew 9. The disciples of John came to Jesus and said, why are we fasting and your disciples aren't? And do you remember what Jesus said to them? He said some things to them, but then he said, the time will come when the bridegroom will be taken from them. Then they will fast. Guess what? Guess what? That's now. And then he said over in Matthew 27:34, there they offered Jesus wine to drink mixed with gall, but after tasting it, he refused to drink it. This is one of the quotes that I hold on to very tightly, since I was a convert from the world and practiced many stupid things. Here's what the majority of the commentators say. It was a common custom of the Roman torturers to administer a stupefying potion to the condemned persons to help to alleviate their suffering and so disturb their intellect that they might not be sensible to the fact they were dying. Why did Jesus refuse that potion at a time of crisis? Because He would not allow His mind to be altered. He had to stay strong. And I read a lot of the commentators, they said things like, well, Jesus didn't take it because He wasn't afraid to die. Well, that's true. But that wasn't why He didn't take it. And He didn't take it because He had to feel the whole force of sin. That's true. But that's not why He didn't take it. He didn't take it because Satan was right there at the cross and he was going, Jesus, why are you doing this for these stupid people? Get off this cross right now and go back to your Father and be happy. They aren't worth a nickel. And if his mind wasn't totally solid, he could possibly be vulnerable. That's why Jesus refused the potion. And so I used to drink alcohol and I don't anymore. I used to drink caffeine and I don't anymore. Why? Because first of all, I became a Seventh-day Adventist. And they taught me that those are drugs. And they alter your mind, your central nervous system. And we are in the antitypical Day of Atonement. We cannot afford to be influenced by the worldly influences that will cloud our thinking. And then the last text here, and I'm really almost done. Philippians 2:5 says, "Let this mind be in you, which was also in" who? Christ Jesus. He refused the potion at a time when all of us would have turned our backs and said, "Go ahead, under these circumstances, we understand." No. Mm-mm. Wouldn't allow his mind to be altered. And so the mental state of your heart, folks, we are living in the antitypical day of atonement. It is time when we must protect our minds above all else by fasting, meaning abstaining from things we shouldn't, eating right kind of foods, being vegetarian, all those things, praying, humbling ourselves before God so we won't be deceived by the powerful last days deceptions Satan has planned. In closing, now don't get the wrong idea here. Do you know who those people are? How many of you know who these people are? Shame on all of you. Let me tell you why I'm putting that up there. Not because I worship these guys, okay? But there's an aspect of them that I respect. Here it is. Hold on to your seats. Although he's still the best basketball player on earth, and by the way, this was August 4th, 2014. The whispers have been circulating the past year that LeBron is not looking as explosive as he was before. Right? It's a natural sign of aging. But fortunately for the Cavs fans, James, who will turn 30 this December, is intelligent and disciplined enough to take the necessary precautions now. He's going on a cut, a bodybuilding term for a diet, basically to lose weight. Dropping weight via healthy eating is a move other superstars such as Tim Duncan, Kobe Bryant, and Steve Nash have done, and all three have gone on record saying the weight loss has prolonged their careers. Each athlete had his own method for dropping weight, though. Nash cut sugar completely out. Brian mostly eats veggies, and James forgoes carbs. And I thought to myself, the Seventh-day Adventist Church has all these beautiful counsels, and we are ignoring them, while stars who recognize their value to increase their longevity so they can make more money are willing to make the sacrifice. So friends, I plead with you as a fellow participant in this struggle. It is time that we build our ark mentally strong through making the sacrifices necessary to protect the greatest gift that God has given to man. Father in heaven, I want to thank you for pleading your cause to all of us here this morning, however difficult it may have been. And I pray, Father, that all of us respond in kind, positively, and seek your strength so we can do better and make sacrifices like these stars made but not to make more money, but instead, Lord, to reach more people for You. Help us to succeed in this. And thank You for hearing this prayer, because we pray in Jesus' precious name. Amen.
You have been listening to another special American Christian Ministries presentation. This is a digital recording for optimum sound quality. To order a copy of this or other presentations, or for a free catalog, please call toll-free 800-233-4450. International calls dial 717-652-7000. You may also order from our secure website at www.americanchristianministry.org. There you will discover the largest selection of authentic Adventist preaching available. You can trust ACM. There's no compromise here. If American Christian Ministries has been a blessing to you, why not take a moment just now and send us a note or an email with your testimony? We'll share it with the speakers and volunteer workers to encourage you. Your prayers and continued financial support are very important to ensure the continuation of this ministry as we help prepare America and the world to meet Jesus Christ. He is coming soon.